This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye, and joining me, we have WWE superstar Xavier Woods. How's it going,
man? AKA Austin Creed, AKA host of the greatest YouTube channel of all time, up, down, down, subscribe, if you have yet to subscribe already, AKA 130, your boys, the new day, your sixth time, WWE World Tag Team Champions, AKA the Kinda Funny Commish!
Let's freaking go. Xavier, how are you doing today, man?
I'm fantastic. I'm blessed to be with you today. Thank you.
This is going to be such a great episode. Because, you mentioned this when they first announced that we're going to host together. Is that, I think this is the first time we've had two black hosts.
ABC, all black cast. ABC, dude, all black cast.
In fact, hold on. I need to do some. Keep the people entertained real
ABC,
quick.
ABC, all black cast. All black cast. Yeah, let's go. What you got? Uh-oh.
I got a rep.
Ooh. There we go. I'm very excited about this.
So, this shirt is a spawn on me. I got to give a shout out to the homie Khalif Adams. Mm-hmm. If you're unfamiliar, Khalif Adams, he's part of this podcast, Spawn On Me. It's really awesome because they do a lot of spotlighting people of color in the games industry. And Khalif is the homie. And so, you know, if we're going to rep, we got to rep fully, man.
Yes.
We got to go all the way.
Yes, at all times.
One of the best episodes of KFGD.
I think so.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait.
Of course, today's stories include Final Fantasy VII's box art being revealed, an Apple Arcade competitor, and the return of Fallout 76 kerfuffles. Because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/. You're wrong. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. Or if you don't want to watch this live, you can watch later on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where bronze members or above get to write in and silver members or above get the show ad free. Before we get into it, a few things for housekeeping, of course. Thank you to our Patreon producers, patreon.com/reretrogames, Blackjack, and Muhammad Muhammad. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Xavier, how does it feel? I wanna throw some shade.
Throw some
at one Greg Miller.
Ooh, yes.
Because
I love doing that.
You're in town for SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And you guys are gonna kill it. I was at Raw last night, it was wonderful.
Yep.
And you know, you're in town and all of a sudden Greg Miller is like, oh, I gotta dip, I gotta leave, I gotta go play The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
Even though the homie Xavier's in town, the commish, is he scared of you?
Of course he is.
What's happening right now?
He doesn't want to see me in person, he doesn't want to see me face to face.
He would prefer to play Last of Us 2.
Yeah. The thing is, you're well aware it's gonna be good. You're not even gonna be able to play it that much.
Exactly.
You just play it when it comes out.
We know The Last of Us 2 is gonna be The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be incredible. When I finished the last one, I was living with my friends Tyler Breeze and Rick Victor, two guys that I also work with. And I came out of my room and they're like, What's wrong with you? And I was like, I just had to make the hardest decision that I think I've ever made in my human life. They're like, from a video game? And I was like, Yeah, it hurt. It hurt real bad.
Man.
So yeah, you know the second one's gonna be good. Greg just didn't want to. He didn't want to be here around.
Yeah,
me.
He didn't want to see the commish face to face.
It's disrespectful, if you ask me.
He's scared. You took away his title. He's scared.
I didn't take away his title. He lost his championship. He actually never won it
because of the rules,
the bylaws.
Yeah.
I don't write the bylaws.
I know.
We all just live by them.
And I respect you for living by the bylaws.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We have to.
And so instead, he instead found me. From the street, I was selling mixtapes.
From the street?
Yeah, he was like, yo, let's just get this guy to host with Xavier Woods, and so I'm down with it. Let's make it work. Let's make it rock.
I think I've heard your stuff on SoundCloud.
Yeah, I'm all over SoundCloud.
Perfect.
I just search Lil Pump. I just pop right up. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Mm-hmm. It's time for some news. We have three stories today.
A motherfucking baker's dozen.
It's a slow news day, Barrett. But we're making it work because we have some exciting things going on. So number one, Final Fantasy's box art has been revealed. And is it misleading? This comes from Jason Schreier over on Kotaku. I'm going to read some of what he wrote here because he had some things to say about the box art. And so here we go. This is Jason Schreier. He says, this is the box art released this morning. And it's here if you're watching, if you're a video watcher, the box art is here so you can see what it looks like. He continues, released this morning for the upcoming Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is out March 3rd, 2020. It's killer art, but if you saw it on a store shelf, you would have absolutely no idea that it's actually just part one of the remake. The game publisher Square Enix is calling Final Fantasy VII Remake is actually an expanded and enhanced version of the Midgar section of the original Final Fantasy VII, which comprises roughly the first 4 hours of the game. The remake looks and feels great so far, but we don't know when the whole project will actually be finished. Director Yoshinori Kitase told me at E3 that they hadn't even figured out how many parts it will be. Now, Xavier, are you familiar with what's going on with the Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Yeah, so it being in parts, and I'm glad that you just said that it was going to be the first 4 hours, because I was like, oh, in my head, it was always going to be broken into discs, because it was three discs.
Yeah.
And so in my brain, it was like, okay, well, that I can deal with that. It'll be fine, because the way games are released now, I feel like a lot of them are the length of like a disc of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah.
So I'd be like, okay, I that's fine with me. But as soon as you said it's the first 4 hours, I was like, well, then how many parts is this? Because I feel like I dumped more than like 80 hours into this game, just doing random stuff, you know. So
it's such an interesting situation because like I've not played much of Final Fantasy VII. I've only played actually like probably the Midgar section.
Yeah.
And it seems like this is gonna be that, but it's gonna be that expanded, and so it's gonna be like the first 4 hours of the original game, but it'll probably net out to like, who knows? I don't know if they've been talking about it, but I assume like 20 hours for what this part one might be. And by the time it's all finished, like who knows? Like the Final Fantasy VII Remake as a whole might end up being like 200 hours.
Yeah.
Who knows? If this is only part one. It's a weird situation because I do wonder like why aren't they calling it in the title of the remake Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1 or Remake colon Midgar or something along those lines. Do you feel like you have a problem with that? Or do you think that, like, you know, it's fine. The people that are fans will get it. Where are you at with that?
I feel like that. Because I love Final Fantasy VII. It's the first Final Fantasy that I actually played.
Mm.
And it's like, so I never had a PS1 until, like, way later in life. But I'd go to my friend's house to play Final Fantasy VII, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, someone who loves this game, and for people in the community who do love the game, they've been keeping up with the information, and they realize that it's out in parts. And if I'm a kid or an adult who's new to the Final Fantasy franchise and new to Final Fantasy VII franchise specifically, and I see this on the shelf, I don't think that I would be upset when it's done and they go, oh, there's a part two. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be more excited. Like, oh, cool, more is coming.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had that experience of playing Final Fantasy VII for 100 hours, so I know this already. Like, I get it that it doesn't say it on there, that like it is misleading. I do feel that. But at the same time, it's like, we knew.
If it's like, and also like, if this nets out at like a full game, right, in its own right, right, like even if it is just Midgar, if it is a 20-hour full experience, and it feels like it has a beginning, middle, and end, and if they just want to call that, like, I get the title being somewhat misleading, but even like, if it stands alone as its own release, and you know, like the next part really does just feel like Final Fantasy VII 2, but not necessarily like, you know, it's not like an episodic thing, right? It's not like it's, I assume it's not like Telltale, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, Walking Dead season one, every episode is like 2 or 3 hours. And you can tell that like, if you want the full game experience, you buy the whole season.
Yeah.
And you know, like a season in itself feels like its own game, right? This seems like it's going to be, Final Fantasy VII 1 is going to be a full game. And then Final Fantasy VII 2, I guess, is going to feel like the sequel to 1, even though they're telling the story, the full story of the original Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
It's a convoluted thing, but I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't really have a problem with it. It's, it's Final Fantasy VII. We're gonna get the game. Like, eh. And if the cover art is misleading, and if that's the only thing that we have bad to say about the game,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah,
we got worse problems.
Yeah.
Than the cover art being misleading. The game is dope. Have you played it?
No, I've not.
So I got the chance to get hands on. So
really,
yeah, with the demo, like you play the first boss with like the scorpion tail thing, and dude, it's so good.
All of the videos. There was a GIF that was going around of Tifa, just like going off on this enemy, like doing like acrobatics, and it looked amazing.
Yeah.
And everything that I've heard Tim Geddes say about it makes me super hyped for it. Even me as like somebody who I've never really fallen in love with a Final Fantasy game. And I think it's just always been like a wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. Cause I was an N64 kid growing up. And so I didn't have a PS1.
So you're more Mischief Makers than Final Fantasy.
I'm more Donkey Kong 64.
Okay, yeah. Fair.
And then like, you know, I didn't play any Final Fantasy games on PS2 unless you count Kingdom Hearts, which isn't real. Like it's adjacent, but it's not Final Fantasy. Like Sephiroth is in there, but it's not Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Right. I tried playing Final Fantasy 13 on PS3. And I played that for a few hours and I was just kind of like,
really? You didn't like it?
I don't know, man. I liked parts of it. I loved the soundtrack. I thought the graphics were beautiful. Yeah. I thought the combat system was interesting, but for some reason I just got bored. And so I was just like, maybe Final Fantasy isn't for me as a whole.
And that's fair.
But like Final Fantasy VII as like an idea and as an aesthetic and as a style, I've always been somewhat into, and especially seeing the remake, I'm super into everything they're doing with the remake.
Yeah.
And seeing that the gameplay is going to be like real time, like action, as opposed to like the turn based stuff, I feel like that's going to appeal more to me. Because I've always been fine with turn based. Like I love Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I love like Persona, but like I feel like it being more focused on the action is going to get me way more into it. As somebody who's not really been able to get into a Final Fantasy, so I'm really looking forward to remake. In the Kotaku article that Jason wrote, he points out the press release that Square Enix put out for this game, kind of describing Final Fantasy VII Remake. And they say in the press release, quote, Final Fantasy VII Remake is a reimagining of the iconic original game that redefined the RPG genre, diving deeper into the world and its characters than ever before. The first game in the project will be set in the eclectic city of Midgar, and presents a fully standalone gaming experience that provides a great starting point to the series. And then Jason kind of encaps his piece by saying, you have to wonder how many people will see this box at GameStop or Target and think, wow, remake of that game I loved in the 90s, only to find out that they've actually just gotten 1/10 of the story of that game they loved in the 90s, which I think is a valid point. At the same time, I'm like, if they're fans,
then they know.
They should be informed enough.
But also too, I can see this being more of a valid point depending on how much it costs. If it's like $60 per an episode, that's I'd have an issue with that, because it's like okay, it's one game, and now I've got to pay like what, depending on how many parts. Let's say it's in three parts. Now I got to pay $180 for this. Like now I'm geeked about it, you know.
Yeah,
but we have to see.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be on Amazon. Do they not? They don't have a price yet. It looks like.
I'm trying to find it.
I assume it's going to be $60. And here's the thing, I think we won't know until it's out.
Yeah.
Where we really stand on it, because I feel like if it's out and it does feel like a full experience, then I'm fine with it. Because I assume like maybe Remake 2 won't come out for another few years, right? And they're developing them like full. Beginning, middle, and end games.
Unless they're going to just be good to us and say, okay, so this is $60 for this disc, and then every time the new part comes out, you just get the automatic download.
That'd be awesome. We don't know. That'd be awesome.
And so let's not pass judgment until we know.
And like I do put this on Square Enix and sort of how they've been promoting this game, because I feel like they've not been super clear on what's going on as far as like they've said multiple parts, but yeah, they are titling it just Final Fantasy VII Remake. I do want to comment, Barrett, if you could bring back up the box art. I want to know how you feel about this box art, because I think it looks hot.
It looks great.
Because for the audio listeners, right, it is like a white box with Final Fantasy VII Remake, like the logo on the top right, but then like it's Cloud looking at Midgar in the background with his big old Buster Sword. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, with his Buster Sword on his back. I think it looks hot. I think it looks awesome.
I'm biased to this sword because I have one in my house.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I'll send a picture.
Dude, that's the coolest thing ever.
I love this whole aesthetic.
It's such a good aesthetic. Like, I'm very much like an aesthetic person. If you can get me with a great aesthetic, then you can get me into your game. Right now, this is working for me. Let's get into our next news story. Google Play Pass bundles 350 Android games and apps for $4.99 per month. This comes from The Verge's Dieter Bonn. I'm going to read part of his piece. He writes, "Today, Google is launching a new service called Google Play Pass, which for $4.99 per month gives Android users access to over 350 games and apps, which will be served ad-free and without any in-app purchases. Google will give users 10 days free and is also planning on offering the first year at $1.99 per month. It will be available in the U.S. this week and other countries, quote, soon." Google's take on the app subscription model is a little different from Apple, which just launched last week, Apple Arcade. It's $4.99 games subscription service. It's a $4.99 games subscription service. I think there was a typo there. Firstly, Google Play Pass includes apps as well as games. Secondly, Google isn't directly funding development, their development, nor demanding exclusivity. I'm going to stop there for a second because I want to get like your surface level, like, what's your immediate reaction to this?
So my thing is, so I just switched over to the new iPhone.
Oh, right? Nice.
So
how is it?
I love it. The camera's insane.
Really?
It's so
good.
It
better be insane with those three freaking...
It's wild with the spider eyes on it.
Yeah.
So while I was doing this, my previous phone, I had like, I don't know, like 5 pages of apps. Mm. And I'm trying to transfer my data to my new phone. And it's like, oh, it's going to take 14 hours. I was like, well, let me delete all the apps and stuff that I don't use. And then transfer. Mm-hmm. And I got down to a page and a half of apps, mm-hmm. right? And so to get access to 350 games and apps, like I might use like three of those.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely those three apps are going to be free anyway. And so I feel like paying $5 a month to get access to this stuff. And then also, sorry. The without any in-app purchases.
Yeah.
So does that mean that there are only going to be games that don't have access to in-app purchases?
That's a good question.
Because, like, let's say that Clash of Clans is on there.
Mm-hmm.
There's in-app purchases in there, but can I now not make those in-app purchases because I'm paying the $5 a month, or are those purchases free? Like, that's very confusing to me.
Yeah, and I imagine it can't be the second one, right?
It definitely cannot be the second one.
That can't be the case.
Like, I'm going to rack up a $3,000 receipt because I'm paying $5 a month.
Yeah, is like Google's paying this for me, or like, what's happening?
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the more solid games that have in-app purchases than not. So, like, what kind of stuff is actually going to be good that's in this package? And I could be totally wrong. If you're using an app or playing a game that with no in-app purchases that was like just like $2, perfect. Like Tepin has in-app purchases.
Does it really?
Yeah. I don't know. I
guess in that case, like, you just wouldn't see Clash of Clans on there, right?
Yeah.
You would just imagine that like games that heavily rely on in-app purchases just won't appear on the service.
Yeah.
So which is kind of a bummer, but like, most of those games are also free, right?
Yeah.
And so, like...
They're free games with purchases.
Yeah.
So...
I guess, like, it kind of just weighs out that, like, yeah, I guess... I mean, they're free anyway, and so...
Yeah, I'd have to see the list.
Yeah, exactly. And we can get into that, because, like, the article continues here. At launch, all of the apps and games included in Google Play Pass were already available on the Play Store and will continue to be available as standalone purchases or ad-supported. If you've previously installed any app that's included in the service and sign up, your current app should automatically have its ads removed and its in-app purchases unlocked. And so that kind of answers our question.
I recant everything I just said, especially because the next part says that you get Stardew Valley,
Limbo,
and Risk.
Forwarding,
I do mess with Risk.
Yes.
I play Risk heavy. I might get this because of Risk.
So fast forwarding to the end of the article, right? It says, Google says roughly 2/3 of the apps included in Play Pass are games, including longtime favorites like Stardew Valley, Monument Valley, Limbo, Let's Freaking Go, and Risk. In other words, they include a mix of indie and institutional developers. Similarly, the non-game apps include biggies like AccuWeather and smaller, well-loved Android apps like HiQ Recorder. I haven't seen a full list yet, but other notable games that I noticed include Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic, which I didn't know was on mobile.
What?
Yeah, that's wild, right?
What?
How do you even play that on mobile?
I have no idea.
Just delete the whole 2 minutes of me saying, I don't know if I want this.
I'm deleting it as fast as I can.
I don't even have an Android. Yeah. I might have to get one.
Like, it also says Mini Metro, Old Man's Journey, which I've heard is great, and ELO. And yeah, like, so I'm an Android guy. Yeah. I've been seeing all the Apple Arcade stuff for the last week, and it's been bumming me out.
Yeah.
Because all that stuff looks great.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard so much about games like What the Golf. Mm-hmm. I've been playing Sayonara Wild Hearts on my Switch, and I feel like on mobile, that game would probably be also pretty cool to have. And it seems like, whatchamacallit, Exit the Gungeon seems like it's cool.
Gungeon's great.
Yeah, like,
That's on mobile?
Yes, it's part of Apple Arcade. It's an exclusive.
See, I feel like I missed all the Apple Arcade stuff. So let me just backtrack real quick. So in the past couple of days, Wednesday flew to Manila to do a show in the Philippines, did a show. Then the next morning flew to Shanghai to do a show.
Oh, my God.
The next morning flew to Honolulu to do a show and then flew here to do this. So I'm getting caught up. I'm getting caught up. I apologize for not being as on point.
Hey, man. Like, you don't have to apologize for nothing. You're out there living your best life. That's awesome.
So, yeah, so this is
dude,
new information to
I need
me.
To work out. I need to wrestle, man.
It hurts a lot.
Dude, I can't imagine. Watching yesterday, we were at Raw yesterday, and Rey Mysterio was doing mad flips, and I was like, dude, mad respect, because y'all are just talented out there. There are so many flips in that five-way match. Dude, yeah, respect. But, yeah, like... This seems like a good alternative for Apple Arcade. It doesn't seem like on the level of Apple Arcade, of course, because they don't have the exclusives. They are including some apps, including AccuWeather, which is interesting. But as an Android user, I could very well see myself, like, at first when I heard the announcement, I was like, I don't know. But looking at what they have on there, it is kind of attracting me a bit for $5.
Question. Mm-hmm. So you know how there's some controllers that work with, like, either Android phones or Apple phones, but only certain games are attached to those controllers and allow the controls to be used. Like, I'd be curious to see how many games in this what's it called, in the Google Play Pass are actually compatible with controllers.
That'd be an interesting question. Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like that would help sway me if I was an Android
user. Because I know, like, for Apple Arcade, right, a lot of those games, I think Apple just enabled controller support. So I know that's like I know Greg was talking about how, oh yeah, like, if I can just connect my controller to this thing, like, that sounds awesome, right? Because that's something that pushes away a lot of people from playing mobile games. Like, it pushes me away, right? I usually hate playing mobile games, and it's a very rare thing for me to, like, you know, I think within the last couple of years, the only mobile games I've played have been Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links and, like, one other game, Florence. I played Florence, which
Florence
is pretty great.
Florence is incredible.
Yeah, Florence is amazing.
My God, I cried so many tears.
We have a question from Frank Furter. Frank writes in... and says, good morning, blessing, and the commish. Google is riding the coattails of Apple, Xbox, and every other streaming service. However, the way they are going to pay the developers for the games is outdated and unfair. Do you think that even with a change, say bundling it with Stadia, can save face for being tardy and offering developers less? Or is this new platform just doomed? Thank you for all you do, Frank Furter. And at first reading this question, I was like, how are they doing it? I didn't have that information, so I was very confused. I did some research after I read the question. Mm-hmm. Brought me to an IGN article called Developers Raise Alarm Over Their Cut of Google Play Pass Subscription Money. And this article was written by Matt Kim. I'm going to read part of it. I suggest people go to IGN, give them a click, give them a view, because this whole thing is pretty fascinating, pretty interesting. It reads, Google announced the Google Play Pass today, and this was yesterday, a new subscription service for Android users, but an FAQ explainer on how royalties for developers work has some industry professionals worried about game sales moving towards a Spotify model, a model that has been heavily criticized in the past. Google Play Pass is a subscription service where for $4.99 a month, subscribers can have access to a library of games and apps without ads and in-app purchases. This subscription service is similar to the ones offered by Apple and Xbox. However, there is language in the Google Play Pass developer FAQ that caused some alarm in the game development community. According to Google, quote, developers earn royalty that incorporates time subscribers spend in their app and captures how users value all types of content. From weather apps to Epic Endless Runners. Google says that this royalty model isn't set in stone and that it is continuously refining the model to make sure it fairly rewards titles that bring the highest user value, end quote. But game developers say this resembles the way streaming services like Spotify pay its artists. And I think this is interesting because So I listen to a lot of rap music.
Yeah.
I absolutely love rap music. And since I guess streaming services for music have become popular, right? Spotify, Tidal, all these different services have become popular. There's been kind of a shift in the way that at least I've noticed for rap music has been constructed. I can't speak for other genres really because I'm not that ingrained in it, but at least for rap, right? You see a lot of what they call microwave rap, right? Actually, I don't know who calls it that. Maybe that's just the thing I made up in my head. Or maybe like, yeah, I don't know where I got that from, but that's what I'm calling it now, microwave rap, right? Where it is like, we're going to make a song in a day. It's going to be 2 minutes long, right? But the whole point of it is to make it replayable, right? We're going to make longer albums with shorter songs. And so like 25 song albums with like 2 minute songs in order to get those plays, get those streams. And we're going to essentially game the system, right? Mm-hmm. And I can imagine, right, if the way Google Play is going about it is, hey, we're going to pay you based on how long people spend in your app. That then maybe disincentivizes people to make games like Florence, which is an hour-long game, right? And you're probably not going to go back to that game the way you would go back to a game like Clash of Clans,
yeah,
right? And so I can see like that being a dangerous thing and that being the way not to do it, you know?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely... I don't want to say pros and cons because like not paying people is definitely 100% not a pro,
mm-hmm.
but just talking on the evolution of things. So using music as the example. So
mm-hmm.
Before it was all about, you know, just making like solid music and they'd have, it's so like Earth, Wind and Fire. Like there's like a jam session that's like 17 minutes long on an album.
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't do that now because, or you wouldn't do that in like the, let's say like the late 90s, early 2000s, because you're trying to make club bangers.
Yes.
But so you're making club bangers and not like quote unquote, like, good B-sides, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so now here's like another evolution to, like you say, microwave rap.
Yeah.
So now people are making these shorter songs. And so it's kind of the same evolution in gaming. If people are more geared towards this type of service like a Clash of Clans because they want people spending more time in their app,
mm-hmm.
yes, we might lose games like Florence, or we just wouldn't have those games in this service. They'd be over here while people are more focusing on this type of game. And so not that it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it might just be like the next evolution,
yeah, like a chicken,
things, which is like a weird...
Almost like a chicken or the egg thing where it's like,
yeah,
you know, is this just part of the evolution
yeah,
of like, how these services work?
Do we weather the storm to hopefully get to like the next better thing?
Yeah.
But... Who knows?
It's interesting.
If it relies so much on like this like kind of like model of making like games and apps for the service, do you think the service would have a very long like lifespan? Like, what do you guys think on that?
Because Apple Arcade, I'm not too familiar, but I assume they're not doing this because it hasn't been really reported on, right?
Yeah, I
assume Apple Arcade is probably giving, you know, like paying, approaching developers and paying them just to be on their service as opposed to like doing it by time played. Yeah. And so, like, you know, if the competition is doing it better and if developers feel more incentivized to go put their games on other services because they feel like Google Play Pass is screwing them,
mm-hmm.
then I can't imagine Google Play Pass lasts too long.
Yeah.
Or maybe we just don't get that many great games on Google Play Pass because of it.
Mm.
But it could also be a thing. And so I think this is a better way to say what I was trying to say before.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Google Play Pass, there are just games that developers make that are geared for that program.
Mm.
And so they're longer form games or they're shorter games that might take an hour, hour and a half, and then you're done with it.
Mm.
They just don't put on this platform.
Yeah.
They might send that to Apple or they might just have it off of Google Play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it could be that sort of thing as well.
And I think like, I don't know. I think there's something there. I think like maybe if even Google Play was like, hey, we're going to have two systems, right? We're going to have the system like Apple Arcade does it, where we approach developers who do want to make more, you know, smaller games or shorter games or artistic games. We're going to pay them a lump sum to have their game on our service. And then games that are more service driven that you're going to get more hours out of that are meant to like bring people back. We're going to pay those games based on time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the way to do it. I don't know. I would need feedback and like, I'd want to know what people think about that.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm not a developer. I'm not sure like, you know, what the mindset might be if that was the case, but maybe that's a way to like get around that if they really want to keep this time-based thing, right? If they see value in that.
Yeah, because there are definitely developers who are well-versed in making games like that. Those are the kind of games that they like to make.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure, I would want to make sure that like people don't get cut off from getting exposure or from getting paid because this service is set up in a way that doesn't help those types of games out.
Yeah. You
know? But then at the same time, if Apple is doing it in a better way, that's better for developers. And I feel like Google is going to hurt from that, and they'll have to change and evolve and be better in that space, you know?
Let's get into our third and final news story. This is an interesting one. This is a fiery one. Because we haven't had one of these in a minute. And so I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited I get to be on this episode. 20,000 Fallout 76 Power Armor helmets recalled for mold exposure. And I do want to preface this, because I said I'm excited to be on this episode. I don't like wish like any like, you know, bad fortune on Fallout 76.
It's just been
one of those things where it's just been like a roller coaster as far as like, and it's the roller coaster has stopped. Right, it's been quite a while since we've read one of these, and so like, you know, it's just so interesting that this continues to happen somehow. This comes from IGN's Alicia Judge, and it reads: concerns have been raised that a wearable helmet included with special copies of Fallout 76 is a breeding ground for mold bacteria, resulting in the recall of over 20,000 units, as reported by Dual Shockers. The collectible model of Fallout's T-51B helmet that came packaged with the $200 Power Armor Edition is being recalled by the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission. It warns the polyester and cotton fabric inserts inside the helmet provide a safe haven for bacteria to grow. The recall listing reads, mold can be present, quote, mold can be present on the fabric insert inside the helmet, posing a risk of respiratory or other infections in individuals with compromised immune systems, damaged lungs, or an allergy to mold, end quote. Anyone who bought a copy of the Power Armor Edition can request a full refund via GameStop. As yet, there have been no reported incidents of health issues as a result of buying the model, but GameStop is also reaching out to customers directly. It's not the first snafu to plague Fallout 76's official swag. Customers complained after the same Power Armor edition shipped with a cheap nylon bag instead of one made of canvas, which was initially promised. Bethesda eventually agreed to replace the nylon versions if those who wanted a canvas bag filled out a request form. Xavier, are you familiar with all that's gone on with Fallout 76, like the canvas bag situation and all that?
It's been very interesting because I'm a huge Fallout fan.
Same.
Like, dumped so many hours into New Vegas and just like loved it for so long. And so it just, stuff just hurt.
It's so unfortunate because like hurt. I'm such a big fan of Fallout 3. I love Fallout 4. I still haven't played New Vegas, and I apologize.
Haven't played New Vegas?
I have not played New Vegas.
It's so good.
It slipped by. And the thing for me was I played Fallout 3 pretty late. And I finished Fallout 3 and I was like, oh yeah, let's play Fallout New Vegas. But I was just so, like, I was so done.
4's dope though.
Yeah. 4 is awesome. I feel like it got some hate. Justifiably so, because it didn't run the best, but it was still awesome.
Yeah.
It was still great.
Yeah. That's like, same thing with, Mafia 3.
Oh yeah.
That was my jam.
Barrett loves Mafia.
That was my jam for very specific reasons.
That legit.
Yeah. Again, dude, I mean, the Black episode, man.
Yeah.
This is the Black episode.
I say this every time that game is brought up. It is arguably one of the best told stories in this console generation.
By far. Dude, by far. People need to respect Mafia 3.
Dude, let them know.
What a game. That's like one of like very few games I've 100%ed.
Really?
Hell yes.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome.
But anyway, sorry. Like Fallout.
But like,
it just hurts.
It's unfortunate, right? And like, you know, Fallout 76 coming out and not necessarily being a hit didn't surprise me, because I was curious from the start of when they announced that game. I was like, okay, a Fallout multiplayer game that's going to be in the same engine. Okay, let's see how this works. And it came out and didn't do, I guess, what they wanted it to do.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. And yeah, this is just like, you know, like, at this point, I'm sure Bethesda is just like, whatever.
like we're moving on.
Yeah, we're moving on. We're focused on Starfield now, or we're focused on Youngblood, because Youngblood just came out, and there's like not this level of bad things and controversy, but I don't think Youngblood also did. Are you familiar with Wolfenstein Youngblood?
Wolfenstein, yes, but not Youngblood.
So Wolfenstein Youngblood is the latest Wolfenstein game, the co-op game.
Oh, yeah.
Came out in July. I played a lot of it, and actually kind of enjoyed it, but it definitely like was very underwhelming compared to Wolfenstein, the New Colossus.
Yeah.
And it definitely wasn't this level of like, what are you doing? But it was like, I feel like Bethesda's having kind of a rough time right now.
Yeah.
Doom Eternal is coming up, and I don't I don't want to eat my words.
There. Don't put it out there.
I don't want to eat my words, but there is no way, Barrett, that Doom Eternal can fail. There's no way.
But, okay, so I looked at your Twitter and you said this about
I said this about Death Stranding. Yeah.
I was real confused after the last Death Stranding news. I was like, okay, where are we going?
Yeah.
But okay, so I'll hit you up once Doom Eternal comes out. Because the last Doom game, so
beautiful.
Good.
My favorite shooter this generation.
It's so good. But I tried to, I got it again when it came out on Switch.
Mm.
Wanted to throw up playing it.
Oh,
it's too small. Like, yeah. In turning, I was just like,
I can't imagine that playing that game on Switch.
Yeah.
It is on probably...
Switch on the TV, but on the actual handheld, it's too much. But incredible game.
Playing it on the Switch, on the TV, how's the controller? Because I feel like... I haven't played many first-person shooters on Switch because I feel like the triggers aren't going to be, like, as, you know... They won't feel as clean, I guess, as the other consoles.
It feels fine to me. So, like, I just recently got an actual wireless controller because I just use Joy-Cons. I love it because I've been playing a lot... like on airplanes and stuff. And so I'll set up my deal and I'll just sit like this and play while I'm laying down. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had any problems playing shooters, fighting games. Like I play a Smash on one Joy-Con.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Joy-Cons. They're amazing.
Awesome.
But yeah, sorry. I feel like I keep turning things off of topic. Fallout 76.
Man, I hope they turn that game around.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen it with... I know Rainbow Six Siege didn't have like a disastrous launch, but like they definitely like post launch really like just brought that game up.
Yeah.
You know, I freaking love playing Rainbow Six Siege. And then like, you know, we've seen No Man's Sky come back, you know.
Huge comeback.
It'd be awesome to see the same thing with Fallout 76.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I'm not as hopeful.
Yeah, it's one of those things I feel like Bethesda's so big and they're cranking out so many games. I feel like, let's say Final Fantasy 14. Let's take that.
Yes.
So at launch, tons of people had it, but then it was like, this is kind of, we don't like it. So they revamped the entire thing and made it incredible.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
It would take so much time.
Yeah.
Map is so big. All of the mechanics are so intricate. Like, I don't, there might be some tweaks here and there. But hopefully it comes back around, but.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
But Xavier, Fallout 76 is, I guess, I was going to say return to glory, but I guess entering glory in the first place is so far away. If I wanted to know what is coming to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
Ooh.
I've not prepped you for this. This is
you
me hoping
not.
You watched this show. You're essentially going to read.
I'm going to read these.
Yes. or not read these. We're going to read this right here.
Oh, perfect.
List. Yeah.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Dude, yeah, dude. I don't have a singing voice.
It's beautiful.
But I had to do it because I know people like that. And
people get mad at Tim when he refuses.
People do get mad at Tim. And I'm like, I don't want that energy shifted to me. And so I got to sing. Out today, Contra Rogue Corps for PS4, Xbox One, Windows PC, and Switch. Color Slayer for PS4. Mm-hmm. Constructor Plus for Xbox One. Dead by Daylight for Switch.
I got to download that now.
Are you a Constructor Plus person?
No. Dead by Daylight.
Oh, Dead by Daylight. Oh, yeah, for Switch. I didn't even realize it was coming out to Switch.
Bro,
that
what's
is
the
exciting.
The Wi-Fi code in this?
Barrett, or somebody can probably text it to you.
Don't say it right now.
Yeah, we're not going to say it because, you know, we're not trying to get hacked over here.
Y'all think I'm playing around.
FIFA 20 Champions Edition for PS4, Xbox One, and Windows PC. FIFA 20 Ultimate Edition for PS4, Xbox One, and Windows PC. And am I confused, or, like, is FIFA 20 coming out later, like, just the standard edition? Do you know, Barrett?
I don't know.
Well,
it might be one of those situations where don't they, like...
If you buy the
deluxe
special edition,
like, comes out like a week early,
maybe
or something like that.
Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Let us know. Football drama for Windows PC.
Drama,
dude. I would love if that was just like some like telenovela, but with football players.
Dude,
I really wish.
Yes.
I'm really big on dating sims right now.
Really?
I don't know if you guys noticed, but today on the best YouTube channel ever, Up Up Down Down, we have I Love You, Colonel Sanders. It's
dude.
A KFC dating simulator.
Heck yeah.
Dude. I already
it's
had
really
a prep
good.
For you, boy.
It's super anime.
Is it really?
It's unreal. It released today, right?
Released
today on Steam.
Yeah.
It's free.
It's free?
It's free.
What?
Really?
It's free.
Yo.
And dude, it's like a legit dating sim. It's 5 different endings. Super hyper sexy anime Colonel Sanders.
Dude.
It is incredible.
We might have to talk about, because I know we have a party mode that we're doing today for a specific game.
Ooh, we might
have to
up.
like hit up Andy and be like, yo, I don't know if there's like, if you guys need this one to happen today, but like,
it would be cool.
It would be cool to do one with this. That's awesome.
We get on.
Habroxia for PS4 is out today. And like we said, I Love You, Colonel Sanders, a finger licking good dating simulator for Windows PC. And apparently it's free. So I guess that's your deal of the day also.
Hashtag ad for me.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag ad for Xavier.
Yes.
I'm going to play this game and I'm not sponsored by anybody. We also have Monstrum for PS4. Noita for Windows PC, Northgard for Switch, Rex Rocket mm-hmm. for Xbox One, Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast for PS4 and Switch, which Barrett is excited about over there.
I didn't realize it was coming out on Switch.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It was announced during, I think, the last Nintendo Direct. Very
it was
random.
Like the wildest fucking announcement.
Yeah. Did you watch the last Nintendo Direct?
I
know you've been
like
busy.
10 minutes. And this is where my pain is, guys. I don't get to see everything. I'm sorry.
It was so wild because this is one of those things where back in April, during April Fool's, IGN had like a fake Nintendo Direct that they did where they're like, everything is coming to Switch. It felt like that. It felt like, you know, they were like, oh yeah, and Jedi Outcast and Deadly Premonition 2 and like this and like that. And some random SNK character, people are going to get mad at me because I called him random, but an SNK character is coming to Smash and like all this stuff, right?
It's Terry, right?
Yes, Terry Bogard. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. And then, so yeah, that's coming to PlayStation 4 and Switch. Sally's Law is coming to Xbox One, and The Surge 2 is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Windows PC, and those are all out today. Now it's time for some reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart.
Yeah.
As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Mm-hmm. Getting out of debt is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score. It offers smarter interest rate to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Mm-hmm. Greg needed help when he came to San Francisco for the first time. He was in trouble with his credit.
And he could have used Upstart.com.
He could have used Upstart.com, but he had a downstop because he didn't have Upstart.
Exactly.
That was the worst joke I've ever made in my life.
That's great. Great joke.
Hey!
I tried. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate.
Which lots of us have gone to school and we have that college debt. And so many times people are like, oh, you can't get this job because you don't have experience. Mm. How am I supposed to get experience if you won't get me a job? Mm. I got to pay off this debt. It's crushing me. Mm. I live in a studio apartment, and
dude,
I can't make minimum wage.
Ooh,
I can't do anything.
Dude, tell them.
Get with Upstart.
Tell
them. They say, you got a bachelor's degree? What? You got a master's? Let me give you this better interest rate so you can get your life together.
Man, I feel personally preached to you right now.
All of us.
Just describe the mess out of me. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day.
The sirens are from us, by the way.
Sirens are on our end. The next day, over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames. That is upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames.
Dude.
Now it's time for some reader questions.
Let's go.
How many questions in here do we have from Frank Furter, Barrett?
Yeah, this is also Frank Furter.
It's the only other one, okay?
Man, Frank Furter getting a lot of love this episode. Frank Furter asks, writes into, is it patreon.com/kindoffunnygames?
Yeah.
Bam. What a host.
Dude, look at me.
Can we?
Look at me. I watch the show every day.
I'm so proud of you.
And now it's just all of Greg's like transitions, everything are just ingrained into me. Like everybody else watches the show.
You are so much better of a host than Greg Miller.
Man, from Xavier Woods. Dude, give me a handshake. Give me
just
a handshake.
Incredible.
Thank you, dude.
Wow.
I appreciate that.
ABC, y'all.
Frankfurt writes in and says, good morning, blessing in the commish. The Untitled Goose Game just came out last week, and already someone has managed to speedrun it in just under 4 minutes. I casually watch speedruns every once in a while of some of my favorite games, but I'm interested in hearing if you do too, and if so, which games. Keep up the good work, and thanks for all you do, Frank Furter.
Thank you,
Frank
Furter.
Are you a speed? I was gonna say a feed run, a speed run person.
Feed runner. Yes, I eat while I play games. Yes. So I actually just got the Untitled Goose Game. I downloaded it last night because my friend won't quit talking about it.
You
so
liking
let
it?
Let me see. I haven't gotten to play it. Okay. I was trying to finish Link's Awakening. I'm on the 7th.
You liking that?
I love it.
Dude, I'm playing that game right now. It's making me feel like an idiot.
Yeah, why?
Like, I'm 2 dungeons in, and I've used more walkthroughs in the first 2 dungeons that I've had for whole games.
Okay, so you didn't play it on
Game Boy? I didn't play it on Game Boy recently.
Okay, so that's the difference. So like I turned the game on, and I was like, okay, yeah, clearly I remember this game. I remember playing this when I was younger. And in the forefront of my mind, I'm like, oh, what do I do next? But my hands are literally just moving to the next thing. I'm like, oh, let me try this room. And it's literally like I haven't made a misstep yet.
Really?
I'm just going.
That's when that happens, isn't that great?
Yeah, but I legit don't remember.
It's like Galaxy Brain.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's such a good game.
But you just started the 7th dungeon?
Yes.
Have fun with that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
we'll see. I remember having problems with that.
That's the only dungeon. Like I beat it over the weekend. And that was and I didn't play it originally. And that was the only dungeon where I was like, "What the fuck am I doing? Yeah. What is going on?"
That's the one with all the switches, right?
Yeah, and there's like multiple floors, and if you fall down a floor and you have certain switches up, then you have to like retrace your steps and like do all this complicated stuff. I was really bad at it. Okay.
Probably hit the standstill. As far as speedruns go, what's the big yearly speedrun deal that you do for charity?
I know what you're talking about. Don't Tell Me Barrett. It is Awesome Games Done Quick.
Summer Day.
And Summer Games Done Quick.
Yes.
Is it both of them?
Yes, I think so.
Because I feel like there's two of them.
Normally on the road while that's going on, but I watch that. I watched a guy run through like Mega Man 3. So I like Mega Man speedruns.
Yeah.
Because I love Mega Man, but I'm just trash. Just gutter trash.
Yeah, I feel that.
Especially, like, I was like, oh, Mega Man 5, I know everything about Mega Man 5. I can probably speedrun that. No, I can't. No, I can't.
Yeah.
That's like when people see people playing football, they're like, oh, why didn't he catch the ball? I could do that. It's like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't speedrun this game.
Yeah.
At least me.
No, I'm with you, where, like, I'll watch a speedrun, and I'm, like, immediately, I'm like, there's no way. Like for a second, I'll be like, oh, yeah, a Donkey Kong 64 speedrun. I could do that. But then I actually watched a Donkey Kong 64 speedrun.
And they're like breaking the game.
They're clipping through everything.
Dude, it's wild.
Jumping on like certain pixels of blocks to get to the next thing. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, dude. It's wild. There's, I forget which, if it was Awesome Games Done Quick or what it was, but they did a speedrun of, I guess it was a game called Mega Man DOS. It was like a Mega Man game on, I guess, Apple, old Apple computers. In the game, like, the whole time they're just roasting the game. But at the same time, like, they played this game so much that they're able to just speed run through it. Because, like, that's how deep it goes. Like, people just speed run the most random and most unique specific games.
Yeah.
I freaking, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not too invested in that community just because, like, I just have a lot of stuff going on. But when I can, I tune in, and it's always, like, a mind-blowing thing. Also, Mario Maker speed runs are incredible. Shout out to, Grand Pooh Bear.
Grand Pooh Bear.
Grand Pooh Bear is awesome.
Yes,
dude. I did a panel at PAX like last year with Grand Pooh Bear and Khalif Adams is spawning me. Grand Pooh Bear, one very nice dude, awesome dude, but also just very talented.
So insane.
He's awesome.
So insanely talented.
Yes. Check out twitch.tv/Grand Pooh Bear. I assume that's his Twitch channel. Maybe there's an underscore in there. I don't know. Search him up.
He's a good dude, very kind. We're trying to get together to stream.
I think he might be like the record holder for both of my Mario Maker levels.
Wait, really?
I think that's awesome. I could be confusing him with someone else, but I think it might just be a similar name. But Andy was going back and forth with someone on my levels.
Back and forth with Grand Pooh Bear. That'd be wild. Xavier, I'm going to ask you my own question.
Okay.
We have more questions here, but I want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Because, like, of course, once again, 2 black hosts here, man. Mm-hmm. We're making history. Mm-hmm. You know, this may never happen again. It better happen again, Greg. It better happen again.
And it better be with us.
Exactly. Who, and you might have to think a little bit, favorite black character in a video game?
Oh, in a video game. Because I was immediately going to say Powerline, because Powerline is black. Let's be serious. But in a video game,
it sucks that it's hard to think of.
It's hard because we were talking about Mafia I was going to say yeah. Lincoln. Is Lincoln, right? Yeah.
The main
character?
It's
been a minute. It's been a second.
Yeah, Lincoln March.
Yeah. God.
Because for me, it's my created character and all.
I was going to say, you know what? It's me in it's me. WWE 2K.
Ooh.
I'm legit in the game. There we go. But then, I don't know. Because there's a Rocky game and Apollo Creed is in it. Ooh. Apollo Creed's my favorite like character of anything. I don't know. Let me think. I'm going
to
think.
I have to think about it too because I was going to give an answer, but now I'm like, I don't even know what my answer is.
Yeah.
Developers, make more games with black people in them, please.
With us in them.
With us in them, please. Actually, I'll be in any game. Actually, I am actually scanned into State of Decay 2.
Randoms. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, random. So I guess me in that game.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, that was a weird thing because it was through like, I had a friend that had a friend and that happened. let's get into this question written by Gage. They ask, hey, Blessing, welcome to your first hosting day. It's my second hosting day now. As part of this amazing community, I'm sure I can speak for everyone and say we're so proud of you and are so happy to see you behind the desk today from KF Prom King to host. Let's go. Thank you so much, Gage. I appreciate that. So my question today is, I know that today everyone is obsessing over Last of Us 2 and potential WB in this potential WB Batman game, which I should remind people, we're having a watch along of the State of Play happening later today, Tuesday at 2 o'clock,
1 p.m.
1 p.m. Pacific time.
So we're gonna stay live here. It's gonna be Games Daily going right into Harry Potter and review, right into this watch along.
Yeah. So if you're watching this later in the day, this is gonna be a dated question. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, between the State of Play and Inside Xbox today, do you think we see anything new from Jedi Fallen Order? I feel like we're really close to that game, and yet I don't see any marketing for it. If you do something, or if you do see something, what would get you hyped? So for you, are you following Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order? Are you like up to date with like that game?
I am not up to date.
So Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is being developed by Respawn, who does like Titanfall and Apex Legends and all that stuff, right? It's the new like the Jedi. I don't know the story of Jedi Fallen Order, but essentially you're playing as a Jedi in this game. It's an action game, right?
Third person.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome from what we've seen. I guess for me, because like I'm probably gonna get the game. I've not really thought too hard about the game because it's one of those things of like, yeah, this game looks exciting. When it gets here, I'll get it. I'll play it. Mm. I would like to see more of some of the Metroidvania aspects that I've heard being talked about but haven't been shown for the game, because I know at E3 they had some vertical slices that they showed off.
Yeah, it was more of just showing like the action-y kind of like a almost very Dark Souls light-esque combat that they had, and then it was like cool and stuff, and then all of these people who got to see behind closed doors demos and whatnow were like, this game is way more expansive than
they're like, there's so much more to this, right? You can go, apparently, like, you have a ship that you go back to and all this stuff, and there's a lot more exploration elements in the game.
Huh.
And so I don't know if it's going to be in either State of Play or Xbox, but because this State of Play is only going to be 20 minutes, and so, like, we assume Batman's going to be there. We know Last of Us 2 is going to be there. Yeah. And so, like, that's not much time.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe inside Xbox, but as me and Greg were talking about yesterday, right, like, Inside Xbox hasn't necessarily come out and had like these big like megatons, right? These big like reveals, right? And so like, and I guess like,
and the thing that they're advertising for this Inside Xbox is like updates to like services.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
I feel like another showing of Star Wars, what's it called again? Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be the type of thing that would be advertised in the tweet, because I feel like that's not like a second showing isn't necessarily a surprise. Right, like I feel like at that point we're just like, oh yeah, cool. Like let's see what this is. And so,
I am down with an undersell though.
That's true. You know,
because I feel like this past year specifically, there's been so much overselling of stuff, and then we get it and we're like, oh, yeah, I mean it's good.
I feel that.
I do like a good undersell, especially.
I don't feel that.
And I could see that being the thing, especially with all of the Star Wars stuff that has been coming out recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like now knowing what is it since Star Wars under new management, where they have like a new Star Wars like every year now. It's like the goal. So it's like almost like an oversaturation where like, they could be like, this game is going to be incredible, or we're just going to let it speak for itself when it drops.
Yeah. No, for sure. Let's see here. How much time do we have? I should wrap up. And so before I wrap up and get into You're Wrong, let's squat up. Today's squat up comes from Samantha Jade. Samantha Jade wants help in Pokemon Go. They say, what's up, Blessing, in the commish. Did I do that right?
You did.
I hope I did that right.
You did. You can hit it from the
base.
Yeah.
I don't think I have that in
you
me.
Do.
I think I Greg, I know Greg has that in him, but like I'm gonna practice that.
All right.
Because I know we'll do this again someday. And by that time, I'm gonna have it down. They say, thanks for reading my squad up. I'm looking for some best friends who want to become best friends in Pokemon Go. I'm stuck on a special research task to add new friends, and I'd like to find new friends from all over the globe to get some long distance eggs, which is a funny sentence. I'm sorry. They say I'm from Australia. If you'd like to add me, my friend code is 7364335067 28, and I'm assuming that'll be in the YouTube description, Barrett. They say I look forward to swapping gifts with you. Aww. Soon, which is another that, yeah.
You're in Australia. I'm going to Australia soon,
dude. You're everywhere.
I try.
That's awesome.
I try. If I'll re-download the game, because I literally in the transfer I deleted it, so I'll re-download it and I will add you on my friend code. You can swap gifts.
Let's get into your wrong. It looks like, let's see, the nanobiologist writes in and says, a nitpicky thing, but it's The Last of Us Part 2, not The Last of Us 2. I shouldn't even read that. We know. We know.
Come on, Nano.
Now I understand why, like,
now you get it.
When I like watch the show and I see y'all get frustrated, but now like I'm looking at all the your wrongs and that's the one that's starting off. I love you, nanobiologist. You do a great job every day.
And reminder, if you want to submit a you're wrong, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong.
Yes.
To get those submissions.
Let's see. Borzin. Borzin 00 says Final Fantasy VII Remake is supposedly expanded out to the length to be about 40 to 80 hours. Now, they don't really say if that's one game or the whole everything together. Huh. And so, but I assume that's everything together. I don't know, man. Lord of Pwn says Square Enix has said that this first game in the Final Fantasy VII Remake is equivalent to a mainline Final Fantasy title. Okay, so they're essentially saying that like this is going to be Final Fantasy Remake Part 1 is going to be as long as any Final Fantasy game.
But okay, so Final Fantasy 13, like we're talking about.
Yeah.
I dumped like 50 hours into that.
Like just the first one? Because there's three of those. There's Final Fantasy 13 1, 2,
yeah,
and Lightning Returns.
Just the first one.
Just the first one. Yeah. So like I think it's going to be that type of thing.
That's a lot of game. And to end at Midgard, is there new stuff in there?
I think there is. Yeah. I think there
has
is.
To.
I think they're adding, because Tim was saying, because he played it, right? And he was saying, like, yeah, they expand on some things that you almost wouldn't have expected, but, like, makes sense for, you know, an updated Final Fantasy VII
game.
Yeah,
that's
not so,
turn-based type stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, the biggest part of that game for me, or my favorite thing, is when you have to go and get the dress and the wig and do squats and stuff to sneak into dude's house. So, like, I'm hoping that they expand a lot on that. Like, I could do that for an hour. Give me more of that.
The nanobiologist also writes in and says, per a DICE article about Apple Arcade paying developers, there are other unanswered questions too. What we don't know, it's not clear how developers who make their game available to Apple Arcade will be paid. Exclusivity means you can't port a game to Android, which is pretty interesting. So those are just some more for the details. Borzin00 writes in and says, Mega Man DOS was part of the awful block, and that is only at Awesome Games Done Quick, and they are known to bash games a lot, which I think I remember there being some controversy about, because people work hard on their games, and so for it to be like a whole thing dedicated to bashing games, but like at the same time, these are very old games. I'm sure whoever developed Mega Man DOS isn't out here like, how dare you, but I get both sides of it. Nanobiologist says, I'm the Great Wall of Fact Checking, thank you. The Champ writes in and says, the best black character is Clementine. Is Clementine black? Did I miss that?
From
Walking Dead.
Oh, why am I thinking of what's the girl's name in BioShock? The last.
Oh,
one.
The little sister. Oh, the last one. Oh.
Oh, shit.
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
She's definitely not black.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. Oh, so now that you've had time to think, do you have an answer?
God.
It's okay if you don't. I should have prepped you. We could have thought about this. I wanted, since it's two black hosts, I wanted to do something for the occasion, and I definitely just sprung this up on you. Luther in Detroit Becoming Human is awesome.
Great character.
Actually, I'm going to say, I can't remember her name, but there is a black woman in Detroit Become Human who helps out a lot later in the game.
She's
I love her.
She's like Harriet Tubman-esque.
Yeah, exactly. I love her.
I'm going through my top five games, and it's all like, it's like animals, robots, Japanese dudes.
The brothers in The Last of Us that you meet very briefly, they're pretty cool. The way that ends is kind of like, oh no. It's sad, but I like those characters. Game developers, make more black characters. Hire more black creators so that those characters can be written in authentically. Do all that great stuff.
Yo, check it. Okay, Mario Kart Double Dash, animals.
Mm-hmm.
River City Ransom, Japanese, dudes and chicks. Mischief Makers, robots. Mega Man 5, robots.
This is your top five?
Yeah.
You just don't like humans.
Yo, apparently not. Wow. I mean, my Mega Man is black.
Mm.
Mega Ran.
Shout out to Doomfist in Overwatch, because he's Nigerian and I'm Nigerian.
Ooh, okay.
And so I want to give a shout out to Doomfist.
Shout out Doomfist.
Shout out Doomfist. But yeah, that's it for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow's host is going to be me and Greg. Greg is returning from his Last of Us thing. Is he going
to
give impressions?
Conveniently after Xavier leaves.
I'm so sorry you have to host with Greg. I'm so sorry.
Hey, man, you know, I do what I got to do, I guess.
Yeah, you pay your dues.
I got to pay my dues, you know. It's suffering so that I get to host with you.
Oh,
Xavier Woods. Hey, man, it's been wonderful. I'm so glad that I got to host with you. You've been awesome. This has been like a dream come true. This has been legendary. And yeah, how does Greg usually sign off? It's been our pleasure to serve you.
Yeah.
You should have your own sign off.
Yeah, do it.
I don't know what my sign off would be. I can't. This is a lot of pressure.
Hey, this has been Kind of Funny Games. Y'all be blessed.
Hey.